chapter 8. Grab your Bibles, find 2 Corinthians chapter 8, and we are now at the halfway point of this missions conference, and it has been good. I've enjoyed preparing and getting ready, getting these messages ready for this conference, but then just to be here and to get to hear from the different missionaries, I'm telling you folks, I said it Friday night, and I'll say it again, this is the most important meeting of the year. I got two amens. There we go, I'll take it. All right, it is. It's the most important meeting of the year because it encourages us not only to be actively reaching your community, but it challenges us to lift up our eyes. Come on now, be honest. Aren't we in a culture that's always doing this? Yeah, we're all down on our screens, right? Boy, I think that message, lift up your eyes, is pretty relevant to today's culture. Amen? And so this missions conference is a challenge this weekend to lift up our eyes and to look beyond the four walls of this church and beyond the border of your state and beyond the borders of our country and to look to the world. Amen and amen. To see what God, and isn't that the amazing privilege of missions? That you can stay right here in Bysville and Cambridge. You can stay right here in Ohio and have a part in reaching the entire world through missions. It's just an amazing program that God Himself has ordained and set up. And so it's exciting to be a part of this missions conference. And for me personally, it is a privilege. Because this was the church I grew up in, Bible Baptist Church. And so anytime I come back, for me, it is a privilege because I'm able to give back to the church that invested so much in me in my youth. And so it's a blessing and privilege to come back and see familiar faces and then also to see some new faces. And it's exciting to see the church so full on a Sunday morning. And so I appreciate the opportunity to preach to you. And so we're in 2 Corinthians again. Do you have it there in front of you? If you've got 2 Corinthians 8, say amen. Amen. All right. And we're right back where we were last night, verse 1. 2 Corinthians 8, verse 1. Paul writes here, "Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, how that in a great trial of affliction," that's what we talked about last night, "the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded under the riches of their liberality." Look down at verse 7. "Therefore, as ye abound in everything, in faith, in utterance, and knowledge, and in all diligence, and in your love to us, see that ye abound in this grace also." Look at verse 14. Verse 14. "But by inequality, that now at this time your abundance may be a supply for their want, that their abundance also may be a supply for your want, that there may be equality." Look down to verse 20. Verse 20. "Avoiding this, that no man should blame us in this abundance which is administered by us." This morning I want to preach to you this thought or this concept, managing abundance. Managing abundance. Let's begin with a word of prayer. Father, it is good to be saved and it is good to be in church. And Lord, I just enjoy a church family that makes it so easy to feel comfortable and welcome. And I just thank you for this church family that meets every Sunday, every Wednesday, and serves the Lord in this community. I'm thankful, Father, for this church. And Father, we come to this ever-important time of opening your word and being challenged from it. I pray, Lord, that it would not be in vain. I pray that it would produce fruit. I pray that what happens this weekend would result in missionaries being sent, churches being planted, souls being saved, national pastors being trained, and the work of God abounding all across the world. I pray that you would bless Bible Baptist Church and the ministry here, and I pray that you allow me one more time to be a blessing this morning. For myself, Lord, I simply ask that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart would be acceptable in thy sight. I ask and pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Back in verse 1, Paul begins this chapter in writing these words, "Moreover, brethren." He's not addressing any one individual in the church. He's not addressing any one member of this church family. He's addressing the whole church when he says, "Moreover, brethren." So what Paul writes in these chapters are statements made to the church collectively as a group. That's important because the things I'm going to preach to you today from these chapters, I'm not preaching to each one of you individually. I'm preaching to the church. I'm going to make a lot of general statements. And in fact, I'm going to preach some things this morning that apply specifically to this nation, the nation of America, and churches within America. I know who I'm preaching to. I'm preaching to the brethren. I'm preaching to the church. And what I'm going to say is in general. It may differ from one person to another, but I'm addressing the church. You may have noticed the words that keep popping up in these verses. I helped a little bit, all right? But you may have noticed words like abound, abundance, repeated. You ought to look for patterns in Scripture because God is never redundant. He is repetitive, but He's never redundant. If He repeats something, it is for a purpose. And what Paul is trying to get across to the church at Corinth that he's preaching to or writing to and addressing is that the church at Corinth had abundance. And Paul was not afraid to point out that abundance, just like, by the way, he wasn't afraid to point out Philippi's poverty. Did you notice that in verse 2 when he talks about the churches of Macedonia, which would include the church at Philippi? Verse 2, he says, "How then in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy." Where was their abundance? Their joy. But what was the other abundance? Their deep poverty. So Paul was not afraid to point out the poverty of the churches in Macedonia, and he was not afraid to point out the abundance of the church at Corinth. Each church needs to understand where they fit in. Each church, I'm going to repeat it again, each church needs to understand where they fit in regards to worldwide missions. This morning, I am not preaching, and I have preached to churches in South Africa, but I'm not preaching to a church in South Africa. This morning, I'm not preaching, though I have preached, to churches in Congo, Central Africa. I'm preaching to an American church. Amen? All right, so what we're going to see here this morning is we as a church, Bible Baptist Church, I'm addressing collectively this morning. We need to understand where you fit in as a church because each church has a unique role to play and you need to be aware of that. Paul talks about the abundance at the church of Corinth. Here's the first thing I want us to see. Where there is abundance, it must be acknowledged. I want you to notice verse 7. Look down at verse 7 again. He says, verse 7, "Therefore, as ye abound in" what? Say the next two words with me. Everything. Again, who's writing? Paul. Who's he writing to? The church at Corinth. And what does he say to the church at Corinth? You abound in everything. Now, what Paul is doing in these chapters, chapters 8 and 9, he's actually comparing two churches. And unless we get a little too spiritual and say, well, you're not supposed to compare, well, I'll come back tonight and we're going to talk about that. But Paul is actually comparing. He's putting up the brethren of Macedonia, the churches of Macedonia on one side, and he's addressing the church of Corinth at the other side, and he's comparing the two against one another, and he says the brethren of Macedonia are in deep poverty, but the church at Corinth is experiencing abundance. Realistically, the Corinthian church is in a much better situation than the Macedonian churches. The church at Corinth was not living in deep poverty. And they were not, the church at Corinth was not giving out of deep poverty. If you look at verse 14, look down at verse 14. Verse 14, he says, "But by inequality, that now at this time your abundance." Whose abundance? Somebody tell me, whose abundance that is? Who's the your in that verse? Corinth, all right? So when we read the Bible, we need to understand what those words mean. When he says your abundance, that's Corinth's abundance. So he says at this time, your abundance may be a supply for their want. Who's there? The Macedonians, all right? Don't be shy. I hear some of you whispering. You're afraid to give the wrong answer. It was the Corinth church abundance, and it was the Macedonians' want. Corinth had an abundance. I mean, Corinth had a lot of problems, right? We're aware of that. I mean, they had all kinds of immorality in the church. They had Christians suing each other, taking each other to court. There were factions in the church. There was division. There was disunity. Corinth had a lot of spiritual problems. But can I tell you, out of all the problems that Corinth had, paying their bills was not one of them. Deep poverty was not one of them. Every church is unique in its challenges, and every church is unique in the role they play in the work of God. Let's be honest, as we look at these two churches, the Macedonian churches and the Corinth church, would you say that in this equation that we would be like the Macedonian churches or that we would be like the church at Corinth? I know I'm challenging you to think this morning. In this equation, as the Word of God lays it out, Bible Baptist Church, are we more like a Macedonian church or are we more like a Corinth church? And again, I'm not talking individually because I know even in a room this size, we have different people at different levels and different stations in life. But Bible Baptist Church, an American church living within this nation, are we more like Macedonian churches or would we be more like the church at Corinth? We're more like the church at Corinth. And here's the thing, I can go to a church in Yucatan and I can preach to those churches in Yucatan and say, you need to give to the work of missions, but I'm not going to address them as a Corinth church, I'm going to address them as Macedonians because they're giving out of their deep poverty. I can travel to South Sudan and preach to churches in South Sudan and I will address them as Macedonian churches and not as Corinth church. Am I making sense? Both are responsible to give, but both are giving from a different place. We need to be aware where we stand in the work of the Lord. And folks, let's be honest. We, and I'm saying we collectively as Americans and Christians within America, we have an abundance. Amen? I mean, aren't you glad to be born in America? Boy, I sure am. I got up early this morning. I drove down to Dunkin' Donuts. I got myself a nice hot coffee, and I went and I read my Bible, and I watched that sunrise over the hills, and I was not afraid of where I traveled. I didn't have to second guess where I went. I pulled out my Bible, and I sat there in a public place, sitting in my truck and reading my Bible. I didn't have to worry about having a Bible out in public. Freedom. Freedom. Do you know there is a list of 52 countries where the Bible is either, it's either dangerous to have a Bible, to be in possession of a Bible, or there are strict restrictions. There are restrictions on that Bible, or they're just simply outright banned. You cannot have one. 52 different countries. Man, I tell you what, we live in a country where we are blessed, and I know America has problems. But can we just for a moment acknowledge how blessed we are? Amen? I mean, I'm still proud to be an American. I am so grateful. And what's the old adage? You know, some people are glass half empty. Some people are glass half full. But you know what? Some people just need to thank God for the glass. Amen. And some of us are complaining about what's wrong, and some of us are thankful what's right, but let's just be grateful. Be grateful. And folks, I'm telling you, I'm not preaching to a Macedonian church this morning. I'm preaching to a Corinthian church this morning in the sense that we in America have an abundance in relation to the rest of the world. We have an abundance of freedoms. I am so thankful in this country for the freedom of religion and the freedom of speech and the economic freedom and freedom of movement. Have you ever thought about that? We thought about it in 2020. When all of a sudden that freedom of movement was being infringed upon. And what are you telling me I can't go into a store? What are you telling me I can't go to school? What are you telling me I can't go here or go there? We can't meet at church. We can't do... All of a sudden, that movement of freedom that we didn't even realize we had was restricted. And we got a taste of what it's like to live in a third world country. We got a taste of what it's like to live in a socialist or communist country because that freedom of movement is taken away. And if you've ever done any traveling and gone into other countries, you realize all of a sudden, I'm not free to move about the country. All of a sudden, you have to plan everywhere you go. Just a trip to the store, you've got to plan ahead your own safety, your own security. Can I go to certain places? What time of the day can I go to those certain places? Do I have to watch who's following me on the way home? Folks, I've lived in countries. I remember in South Africa driving home every night and watching headlights behind me. And if those headlights followed me home, I did not pull into my house. I circled and circled until those headlights stopped following me because you do not allow anyone to tail you home at night. That's the country that I lived in. And that is the case in many countries. Folks, I'm telling you, we are blessed in this country to have these freedoms. We have an abundance of freedoms. We have an abundance of spiritual opportunities. We have churches in abundance. We have Bibles in abundance. We have preachers in abundance. We have Bible colleges across this nation. We're blessed. I mean, good night. You can go to the dollar store and buy a Bible. You can go to Walmart and buy a Bible. And yet, how many countries you're not allowed to have a Bible? Or you can't even find anywhere to purchase a Bible. Folks, I'm telling you, we are blessed. And what a powerful testimony that was from Brother Casey this morning. We've been given great opportunity. Churches all around this area. The fact that a 21-year-old young man could live to that point and never get the gospel should never happen in America. Because there's an abundance of churches, an abundance of Christians, an abundance of Bibles, an abundance of spiritual opportunities. God has blessed this nation. And we have an abundance of wealth. Now listen, I don't know what it is, maybe it's just my age, but it seems like when I turned 40, I started paying attention to gas prices all the time. Maybe it's just my age. But ask my wife. We'll be driving, and she'll be talking to me, and I'm looking at the exit. What's the price there? What's the price there? What's the... But, you know, I came down. I stopped in... Where did I stop? Around Canton area on the way down. I got it for $2.42. That's pretty good, isn't it? And I think it's like $2.99 here. I know it's $2.99 on the corner. It's $3.19 down the street. See, I know these things. I shouldn't care that much, but I do. And I will drive an extra few miles just to save 5 cents on the gallon. I ain't paying that. I'm going down the street. We complain about the gas prices, right? If you lived in Germany, you'd be paying $7.18 a gallon. If you lived in Denmark, you'd be paying $8.30 a gallon. Now again, it's petrol, it's by the liter, but if you do the equivalence, if you lived in Hong Kong, you ready for this one? You'd be paying $13 a gallon. Now are you thankful to be living in America? I mean, we complain about the gas price, but again, see, we as Americans sometimes we're blessed But that blessing sometimes cripples us. We handicap ourselves by putting up walls, and we don't know what's... We're so focused on what's going on in this nation that we forget we are one out of 195 nations, and there are 194 other nations that don't have it so good. And we complain, but good night. I'm glad I'm living in this country and paying $2.99. We talk about poverty, and you hear the politicians talk about poverty all the time. Do you understand if you lived in Syria, you'd make less than $2,000 a year? If you lived in Nepal, you'd be making about $1,100 a year. If you lived in Congo, Central Africa, you'd make less than $400 a year. And again, I know we complain, and we have a lot of reasons to complain. But we have a lot of reasons to be thankful. In comparing these two churches, Paul said Corinth had an abundance. And if we'll be honest, folks, God has blessed our country above so many in the world. We have an abundance. And if you've ever traveled outside of this country, you know what you come back doing? You come back kissing the ground. You do. Praise God. I'm grateful. I'm thankful to be an American and the freedoms we have and the abundance we have. Where there is abundance, it must be acknowledged. And Christians and Americans, I'm telling you this morning, we need to put that complaining on pause and we need to thank God for the blessings on this nation. Where there is abundance, it must be acknowledged, because Paul didn't just gloss over it. He acknowledged the abundance at Corinth. He called it out. The second thing I want you to see, number one, where there is abundance, it must be acknowledged. Number two, where there is abundance, it should be the platform for giving. It should be the platform for giving. We're in chapter 8. Look again at verse 7 and notice how Paul words this. He starts by saying in verse 7, "Therefore, as ye abound in everything, in faith and utterance and knowledge and in all diligence and in your love to us," notice here, "see that ye abound in this grace also." Now watch this. I want you to understand this morning. Paul uses the word grace many times in this chapter. He uses the word grace to describe giving. When the Macedonians, in the beginning of this chapter, he talks about the Macedonians giving out of their deep poverty, but he uses the word grace. He says, "Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God." And then out of that grace, and because of that grace, the Macedonians were able to give. And then when Paul sends Titus to Corinth so that the Corinthians can give like the Macedonians are giving, he uses the same word, grace. Look at it in verse 6. Verse 6, he says, "Insomuch that we desired Titus, that as he had begun, so he would also finish in you," notice, "the same grace also." He says, just as the Philippians and Macedonians are giving in grace, he said, we want you to experience the same grace. I want you to see that. He's using the word grace to describe giving. And then in verse 7, as we saw the end of verse 7, he says, "see that ye abound in this grace also." What is this grace? It's their giving. It's their contribution to the work of God. And then once the Corinthians would actually give towards the work of God, that gift would have to be taken and transported to the people that needed it and then administrated to those people. And notice how Paul described that in verse 19. Verse 19, he says, "And not that only, but who was also chosen of the churches," notice, "to travel with us with this grace, which is administered by us to the glory of the same Lord and declaration of your ready mind." So you see that? God called their giving grace. Now, again, I'm going to challenge you. Why would he call it grace? Why wouldn't he just call it money? Why wouldn't he just call it giving? He called it grace. Well, what is grace? Grace is God showing any type of favor in any form, any type of favor that is undeserved. Amen? Well, let me ask you this morning, if it's true, what we've been talking about for the past few minutes, that we in America and we as Christians here this morning are definitely living in a place where we are experiencing abundance above other nations in the world. If that is true, do we deserve it? You say, but we know our history, and thank God for our history. But we're being a blessing to Israel, thank God, and we should continue to do that. And we can name a lot of good things about this nation, but folks, I'm telling you, no matter how many good things we can list, what God does for us in His goodness, we don't deserve. And even at this point, as immoral as our nation is, as violent as our nation is, the amount of babies that we're aborting on a daily rate, we don't deserve God's goodness. And yet God continues to allow us to experience abundance. Are you with me this morning? You all following? All right? You know what you call that? Grace. The fact that God would continue to bless this nation when in so many ways we don't deserve it, we call that grace. So as God in His grace allows us to abound in so many things. And again, I don't want to repeat the message I've been preaching up to this point, but we abound in freedom, and we abound in spiritual opportunity, and we abound in wealth, and we abound in material things. If we abound in those things, here's the message that Paul is trying to convey. See that ye abound in this grace also. This grace. Amen? I'm not afraid to preach on giving because I get to leave Monday, all right? No, I'm just joking. I preach the same thing to our church. It's hilarious, too, because I made a mistake. Maybe it's a mistake, I don't know. But I was preaching to my church the other day, and I said, God loves cheerful givers. And I talked about a church that I'd once been to where when the pastor would say, let's take them an offering, they would start to applaud and cheer. Well, I forgot all about that and moved on. A couple weeks later, I'm standing in the pulpit. I said, all right, it's time to take an offering. And I've got a family over here to my right. And they stood up and started clapping and cheering. And it was contagious. I mean, even people that didn't know what was going on, ah! You know. And they've done it now, I think, 3 times in a row. And I'm saying, yes, I like that enthusiasm. I mean, if your heart is right and you love the Lord and you understand where giving fits in the grand scheme of the work of God, you've got no problems. You're not offended. I enjoy talking and teaching about giving to the work of God because it doesn't benefit me. It doesn't increase my salary. And your pastor made it clear that what you're committing to give does not stay within the four walls of this church. It's going across the world to all these places that these flags represent and these prayer letters represent. That's going to support the worldwide work of missions. As we abound in so many things, and folks, let's just be thankful. God has allowed us to abound. But as ye abound, see, this is the truth of God's word, see that ye abound in this grace also. That's what God's saying. And I'm telling you, folks, the message to Corinth is the message to American churches. It is the message to Bible Baptist Church. Come on, folks, let's be honest. If you're waiting for the churches in Haiti to pick up the burden of sending missionaries across the world, that's a bad plan. If you're waiting for the churches in South Sudan to start sending missionaries across the world and funding worldwide missions, let me just tell you, it's a bad strategy. If you're waiting for the churches of Myanmar to train and send out missionaries, you're going to be waiting a while. God can do it in any one of those countries, but if that's your strategy, that's a bad strategy. There's a reason God has blessed this country, and He's blessing us in His grace, and God has blessed this nation in such a way. Can I just reason with you this morning? Aren't you grateful to be an American? We lead the world in everything. We should lead the world in missions. We can't have it both ways. We can't say out of one side of our mouth, we're the greatest nation in the world, and then say the other side of our mouth how horrible this country is. You can't have your cake and eat it too. You can't have both. I mean, choose. God's blessed this nation. And so God expects that our abundance that He's given to us is to be a platform to abound. We're not responsible to fund the world's wars. We're not responsible to fund other nations' economies. We're not responsible to be all these other things to other nations. But Christian, don't let that spoil your taste for our responsibility when it comes to missions. Because we are responsible in reaching the nations of this world with the gospel. And I think the devil's trying to discourage us when it comes to the global politics of this world, that we say, oh, no, no, we need to back up, we need to back up. And I'll agree with you on many political points, but I will not agree with you on this. We are responsible to reach this world with the gospel. And we are responsible to fund that, and we are responsible to pray for that, and we ought to lead as a nation where we lead in every other area. Go down the list. We are number one. God has blessed this nation richly. We ought to lead when it comes to missions. We ought to be the number one. Don't let China I hear all these things. You look it up online, you hear these, oh, we're number three. I don't want to be number three. I mean, good night. I grew up where America was number one in everything. And now I'm starting to hear rumors that China is surpassing this country in missions. And I don't know if I believe that. And the Philippines is surpassing this nation when it comes to missions. And I don't know if I believe that. Do you want to be number three? I don't want to be number three. I don't want to be number two. I want to be number one. I'm just a proud American that believes that God has blessed us in such a way that we lead in every other area. See that ye abound in this grace also. We need to be number one in sending missionaries out. We need to be number one in God calling preachers. He's still calling preachers. See that ye abound. Because God has blessed us so richly, we're responsible. That abundance should be a platform of spiritual opportunity to reach. There's a principle in Luke chapter 12, and it says this, unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall be much required. And to whom men have committed much, of him they will ask the more. Can we agree this morning that we've been given much? Can we agree this morning that we have been committed with much? Well, Jesus teaches if you've been given much, much is required. And if you've been committed with much, then more will be demanded of you. That's the principle. The greater the favor, the greater the responsibility. The greater the grace and goodness that God bestows on a church, on a nation, on an individual, the greater responsibility. And if God has richly blessed this country, and if God has richly blessed this church, we shouldn't be taking second place in anything, especially when it comes to the work of missions. Hasn't God blessed your church? I'm so thankful. I told you I grew up in this church. I remember meeting in Shenandoah Inn. Who was in Shenandoah Inn? Raise of hands. Just pop up your hands, all right? Yeah, I was at Shenandoah Inn. I remember meeting in the building that is now your pastor's house, all right? I remember meeting there. I remember when this church was small. I remember, Miss Bonnie, when we were in Patch the Pirate Club. All right, we had our little hats and we're marching into church, all right, with our white shirts and our patches and all. I remember that. I remember those days of small things in the beginnings of this church. And look at where God has brought this church. My goodness, God has blessed this church. I remember when it was just a couple missionaries we were supporting. And look at the walls filled with missions. It's exciting. I was thinking as Brother Lewis was song leading. Here's what I was thinking. I was that guy's youth pastor. That made me feel a little bit old. And God has richly blessed this church. I was sitting there and I was looking at just the beautiful architecture of this building that always strikes me. And I thought, man, God allowed a Catholic church to spend all that money and build this fantastic structure because He knew one day the gospel would be preached. In this building, the idols would be torn out. The confessionals would be turned into a sound room and a cry room, and all the kneeling benches gone, and all those things cleaned out, and the gospel would be preached, and the Word of God. God allowed that Catholic church to build this fantastic structure because Bible Baptist Church was headed somewhere. And now you're here. You've abounded in everything. And this church, I know I can come to. The Word of God is preached, and children are being taught downstairs, and teens are involved in a program, and a bus and a van is running, and there's outreach going on every Saturday. You are abounding. God's blessed you richly. See that you abound in this grace also. Don't hold back and say, man, we're doing pretty good. No, use that doing pretty good as a platform to do more, to abound. Because here's the last thing I want you to see. Where there is abundance, it must be acknowledged. Where there is abundance, it can be the platform for giving. Where there is abundance, lastly, I want you to see this, it's right in our text. Where there is abundance, it becomes the supply. Look at verse 14 and we'll wrap it up. Verse 14, he says here, but by inequality, that now at this time, your abundance, that's Corinth's abundance, may be a supply for their want. That's the Macedonians' want. But notice the rest of the verse. That their abundance, who's that? The Macedonians. Also may be a supply for your want. Now hold on. Paul says, your abundance to the church at Corinth, we understand that. But he turns around and says, their abundance to the church at Philippi. You say, wait, I thought they were poor. You know what the Philippians and the Macedonians, you know what their abundance was? Verse 2, an abundance of deep poverty. So watch this. Paul said there was a time when the Macedonians were giving, and from their abundance of deep poverty they gave. When they were giving, you weren't giving. And out of the abundance of their poverty, they did what? They supplied the need. He says, but now at this time, that's what the verse says, but now at this time, it's time for your abundance to supply their want. It's time for this church to stand up and to contribute, because it's not the first time Corinth had dropped the ball. When Paul writes to Philippi in Philippians chapter 4, verse 15 and 16, he says, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving. No church. That would include Corinth. He said, it was only you Philippians. It was only you Macedonians. He said, Corinth wasn't giving. And they dropped the ball. In 1 Corinthians chapter 16, he's actually writing to the church at Corinth, and he talks about these three men, Stephanus, Fortunatus, and Achaicus, and he says this to the church. He says, for that which was lacking on your part, they have supplied. You see, the church at Corinth was lacking. They were falling behind. God had blessed them with abundance, and they weren't giving out of that abundance. Somebody had to supply the need. And the Macedonians stepped up out of their deep poverty and they supplied the need. And now Paul says, it's your turn. Now at this time, your abundance needs to be a supply for the need. Look at one last verse, chapter 9, verse 12. Chapter 9, verse 12. I want you to see this. Look at it. For the administration of this service. Anybody want to take a guess on what this service is? It's the giving, right? This service. that act of charity. He says, for the administration of this service, notice, not only what? Supplieth the what? Tell me. The want. Supplieth the want of the saints, but is abundant also by many thanksgivings unto God. Corinth finally stepped up, and when they gave, he said, this service that you're doing is going to supply the need, the want of the saints. And it's not only going to supply their need, but it's going to abound in many thanksgivings to God. Folks, can I just point out, I know I keep pointing out, but you look at all these missionaries around here on the walls, their prayer letters that represent missionaries you support. Do you realize as you communicate with these missionaries by your giving and receiving, that as they receive that service that you're supplying to them, it abounds to many thanksgivings. So how does it do that? These missionaries receive your support, and then they in turn, in prayer. Do you realize what missionaries do? In prayer, they thank God. Whatever country they're in, they're saying, God, thank you for Bible Baptist Church. Thank you, Lord, for those believers in Bysville, Ohio that are supplying our need. And they're thanking God and they're praying for you. So as you abound, out of your abundance, that becomes a platform for you to reach out and to send out missionaries. And then that abundance becomes a supply for their need. And then as you supply their need, they in turn turn around and they abound in prayers and thanksgivings. And as I said last night, God steps back and looks at all of it and he says, that's sweet. That is well-pleasing. Folks, I'm just here this morning to encourage you. There is a want. There is a lack. There is a need. Bible Baptist Church, I'm preaching not to individuals. I'm preaching to the church at large. God has blessed you. God has blessed you so that. Do you hear me? God has blessed you not to sit on your blessings. God has blessed you so that out of your abundance you might supply the need. Let's stand to our feet as we close this morning.